Merry Christmas, and welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in our series titled Advent. If you would like more information on North Valley Church or our sermon podcasts, you can find us on our website at nvcmd.org.
It's very cool to be able to not just read about it and have to picture it with our minds, but we can also use our eyes and be able to see the Christmas story, to be able to put that together, that that Mary and Joseph and Jesus, he was in this feeding trough, and he was born into these humble circumstances, and that there were these shepherds who received this news from angels, right? We had angels lining up, but the readers helped us walk through his word and how the angels communicated that to the shepherds. And they shared the story about what the shepherds did, what they heard, what they experienced, and what they saw, and then how they responded to it. And when we think about all that, it's all that very cool stuff, but behind all these things happening is God's great love for us. That the reason we're doing this 2,000 years later isn't because it was just a baby in a manger, but this infant was God incarnate. That God, for whatever reason, motivation, decided to come to earth in these humble, humble circumstances. He had a motivation and a plan, and a big part of that plan was his great love for us. And so today, I just want us to be able to look at this picture that we had today and to be able to think about it in terms of, man, what's the love behind what's going on here? The Bible says that the Father sent his Son because he loves us. Because God loved the world. And that we have this opportunity for eternal life. That this love happened in this action when Jesus came. And he's not just this baby in the manger, but he grows up. He grows up to be our Savior. He grows up to be a man and to die on a cross. To pay the price for our sins. As innocent as he was in the manger, he maintained his innocence all the way up to and including the cross, where he bore our sins. That is the love we see poured into this picture of the moment. And the coolest part of the story is that 3 days after Jesus died on the cross, he rose from the dead to demonstrate he has that kind of power and authority over sin and death. When we put our faith and trust in him and receive his forgiveness and his leadership in our life, we're changed for eternity. That love was about restoring our relationship with God in heaven. If you've never done that before today, man, think about just being in a place to accept God's love, to be able to accept what it is that's going on here, that we recognize our need as we struggle through life on our own. Man, it gets hard. We're imperfect people living in an imperfect world. But we have an opportunity to be able to spend eternity with a perfect God. And he gets to live with us right now today, starting today. So our opportunity, don't pass this up this Christmas, is to be able to step into a relationship with Jesus Christ. To be able to recognize that it's not just a baby, but he's God incarnate, that we have a need for sin, that we do things that separate us from God, and that we need a Savior. And that we can accept that and receive it today and start to experience God's love. If you've never done that before today, I would love to talk to you after the service. If you don't think you can stick around and do that after the service, man, send me an email at info@nvcmd.org. I will do my best to return your email so that we can talk about what does forward look like in walking in this loving relationship I've now got with God. So I have some slides. If you picked up a program that was up there, you've got an outline in the program. The scripture that our readers read is on the slides, but I'm not necessarily going to reread it all. They read it, but I am going to talk to the story. And so the story opens up with an angel showing up out of nowhere to some shepherds out in a field. So that's how the story opens up. That's what our readers read, starting at verse 10. And the angel was there to express that God's love was about ready to take action. So I'm emphasizing love being in action. It's the birth of Jesus that actually is the act of love. But the angels showed up to let them know with words about the love. Sometimes we go through our lives and we don't stop for a moment and just say the words to the people we care about, "Hey, I love you." It's funny, I talk to people who grow up in family environments and will be in my office doing some talking, and they'll say, "You know what? That's just something my family never said. I never heard my mom and dad just look at me and say, I love you." We're a church with a lot of kids, so I know I got mom and dads here. Man, don't neglect that. The love that comes out in the actions, we need to do what it is that we need to do, and we need to express our love with actions, but man, use the words. Because when you don't use the words, you leave doubt in people's minds. We leave doubt. Sometimes we get excited about expressing that love, right? Sometimes, like when we're looking at getting married and thinking about it, and we have someone, and the guy is supposed to do the proposal, and then we'll make a big deal about the expression, right? The love is in the marriage relationship, getting married. But we make a big deal about communicating that, don't we? The proposal, the engagement thing, right? I was looking on YouTube. There are some crazy things that people did for an engagement. This guy, they're at this like high school basketball game, and this guy got the entire school in on it, all except for his to-be fiance. And so during halftime, the cheerleaders go out and they start dancing to this Bruno Mars song about "I want to marry you." And the cheerleaders are starting to do it, and they're in the front row, and they had a camera on this girl when this guy runs off of his seat and joins the dance team. She's like, "Oh my gosh," because he's using this entire high school basketball game and the cheerleaders to be able to say, "Hey, I love you, I want to marry you." In those moments, we make a big deal about love and communicating it. But after we're married a few years, that tends to tail off, right? Like poor Millie. Millie didn't get the basketball team. She didn't get a fancy date. At some point in our relationship, Millie had to turn to me and go, "So you keep talking and using the words, when we get married, blah, blah, blah." And she pointed out, "But you've never actually proposed to me." And so you need to step up and do something about it. So Millie didn't get to experience that, but hopefully I'm doing better as time goes on. It went this way. I'm open. But I want us to be aware about our words. Think about how comfortable you are with looking at the people that you care about and say that you love them, right? I think it's appropriate for spouses to do it. Parents ought to be doing it with their kids. Kids ought to be doing it back to their parents. And I think, right, we're family. We can do it with our brothers and sisters. There's brotherly love that is okay for me to be able to say, "Yeah, I love you. Brooke, I love you. Tony, I love you. Kelly, I love you. But I love Dustin the most." So. Be sure we're using our words. Don't let that go by. I can't emphasize how big a deal it is, because when we don't, people end up in my counseling room when we skip those things. After the first angel showed up and said, hey, there's a Messiah coming. Messiah, yes. This is something that the Jews have been waiting for centuries. It's like, well, the Messiah is finally coming. And the first angel expressed exactly what was happening. Then the choir showed up and sung a little song about glory to God in the highest. They were praising God, right? Just to add a little oomph, right? They were doing the marriage proposal. They did a little oomph. The dance team came out, did some moves, and the shepherds got it. But can you imagine the angelic dance team? Glory. Okay, no, that's the terrible idea. They heard those things, and then they responded to them. After the angels had made their little pronouncement and moved on, the shepherds looked at each other and went, maybe we should go check this out. When we receive love in a good, healthy way, it moves us. Receiving love has a way of impacting our hearts and changing our minds. Receiving love can melt things, right? There's a place in the Bible that says perfect love drives out fear. So I want you to think about that. As we receive love, it drives out the fear. You know what? When I'm receiving love, it drives out my anger. When I'm receiving love, it opens me up to other possibilities and opportunities. It changes how I start to view the universe. When we receive love, man, it elicits a response. All these things it's doing to me, lessening my fear, lessening my anger, opening me up to other options. It starts to make me want to do other things. It starts to make me want to pursue those things. The problem is, sometimes we're not really good at receiving love. And I know that I've spent a lot of years doing that. You know what? When you grow up in difficult environments, maybe abusive family environments, you learn to do this a lot. Right? We might be doing that physically, but you know what? If you grow up in a family where that's happening verbally and emotionally, you're doing that around your heart. It's completely a survival tactic. Whoa, no, I'm got to guard myself. I need to keep that out lest it hurt my heart. You're tired of your heart being hurt, and so you do this a lot. So you're really good at it. You build up walls around your heart, and the walls work really well. They keep everything out. They keep everything out. Not only does it keep out the difficult things, the hurt things that hurt, but man, when we start to build walls, it keeps out the love. You want to know what's messed up about that? Is when you're building those walls and you're not letting the love in, you don't even know it. You don't know it. You've never experienced it, so you don't even have a reference point to go, wow, I'm missing that. You don't have a reference point. You can't say I'm missing something that we never really had. And I would hope that you would take some time today, maybe this week, and just check, man, do I let the love in? How strong are the fortresses I built around my heart to protect myself? And are they getting in the way of me being able to receive love? Right, we can build boundaries, healthy boundaries, but if I think I talked about this a week or two ago. Really cool book about boundaries by Cloud and Townsend. I strongly recommend it, how to do that for relationships. And they describe it as when we're building boundaries, we can build fences between us and people to protect ourselves, but we also get to put a gate in the fence. And we can choose with the gate. I get to choose what I let in. And I can close the gate and choose what I don't get to let in. But if we don't know how that works and we're not aware of it, all we're doing is building walls that keep out the hurt as well as the love. I want you to think about in the coming week. We have an opportunity to let God's love, what it is that he's done, what it is that we saw demonstrated. We have an opportunity to let that sink in. And not just to go through the presents and the parties and the lights and the cookies and the cookies and the cookies. But to take a moment and go, you know what? There's love happening here. I want to let it in. So I just want you to think about this. I'm not calling people out, but I want you to think about it. I know people who have this reaction when they get a gift from somebody that they didn't intend on giving a gift to. Right? Somebody just gave me a gift. Oh, now I need to run out and get them something because they gave me something. Right? There are people, I've known people who do that. If you're one of those people, I just want you to stop and think for a moment, why am I doing that? Why do I feel like I need to balance the scales? Why can't I just accept the love that's in that gift and say thank you and not have to make a competition out of it? I think sometimes we say, oh, I need to give a gift back because we feel like the scales are out of balance and we need to tip them back so that they're level, or maybe back in our favor. And let the scales tip the other way. Let people love you, right? I'm terrible at this, right? When you're going through struggling stuff and you need to let people help you, right? Or you need to go ask for help, that's a terrible place for us to go. But having neck cancer and not being able to do anything for 3 months kind of forced me to accept being able to do that, right? That was years ago. So God's taken me through that journey. And I'm like, okay, I really did stink at this, but now I know it's got to work differently. I need to be able to receive the love. And when we do that and start to do it well, man, it changes our hearts. It drives out fear, gets rid of the anger, inspires us, and it will move us to action. It will cause us to want to respond to that love. The shepherds did that, and they went to see what it is that the angels were talking about. The next thing they did was they went to Bethlehem to see, all right, was this child really there? They hurried, and they saw, and they were excited. Wow, we really found exactly all the things that the angels were talking about. And then they told other people, hey, guess what? We were out in the fields, we were tending our sheep, but we left our sheep because some angels appeared in the sky, right? So the first thing the people around them were doing, smelling their breath, what they've been drinking, right? But they're like, no, it's here. Go look for yourself. And they witnessed the love that they saw. That besides love needing to be expressed, and besides recognizing that love can move us and needs to be received, they were able to share their love by telling other people about what they witnessed. That there's this thing about seeing love happen that does something for us. There's something encouraging, right? The Hallmark Channel exists completely on this principle. That we can watch the same romantic story played out in different settings with different characters over and over. And we go back for more because there's something satisfying to our soul to be able to see love witnessed. Right? Even when we're looking at pictures, right? Here's stories about love in action. Are you okay if I tell your story? Mr. Weddy. That was well timed on my part. Andrew works for, I should know this, Army? Marines. He works for the Marines. They coordinate Toys for Tots. He's like Captain Toy for Tot. Okay? They collected lots of cool stuff over the year. Typically, they collect more than they have the opportunity to give away. Andrew had the mind to be able to go, hey, you know what? What was like 24 hours after the tornadoes went through? God laid it on Andrew's heart. Maybe we should send some of these toys to Kentucky, because there's a lot of family and kids there that are going to struggle to have a Christmas this year. And so Andrew's going to be in a truck driving south with a bunch of toys for families who've gone through a tornado and had their lives wrecked. Right now, as I'm sharing that story, I'm watching y'all's face. Y'all nodding. Y'all are like, yeah, good story. It's heartwarming, isn't it? It matters. It affects us. Love can be witnessed. You're witnessing me just talking about some guy working, a Marine, right, doing a nice thing. And y'all are going, yeah, that feels good. There's love here that can be witnessed too. That when we get the opportunity to share with other folks what we know about who Jesus is, man, we can witness that kind of love too. And there are people who need to hear that story. This Christmas, I'm going to get to hang out with Howard and Lynn Christmas Day, and I'll be at the Super 8 Hotel helping some homeless folks celebrate Christmas. And while I'm doing that, pulling out a bunch of scones that Millie's made and giving toys away and gifts, they know me, right? There's some of them who know me and go, hey, Pastor Dan. And I will get an opportunity to go, hey, Merry Christmas. We're here. God cares about you. Jesus came for you. And it opens the door for us to be able to do that. We all will have an opportunity to do that in the coming week. It's a great opportunity to witness about who Jesus is to our families, our coworkers. Even if you're just shopping and boldly say the words, Merry Christmas. The other person at least knows that you're wishing them some kind of good and that God's behind it. They know that Jesus is behind it. Man, don't be afraid to be a witness for God's love this season. Where are you at this Christmas season? Are you in a place where, man, I feel like I'm going through the motions? I am robot. I'm doing the same thing I've done for the past 3 to 5 years. And I'm going through the motions and I'm not feeling what it is that God may have in store for me. I would love for you just to be able to take at least today and center yourself. Maybe what you're hearing today is that, you know what? I can witness love. That Jesus died on the cross for me. It was a loving act. And maybe today you see that witness. And you want to accept that. Maybe you're in a place where you have an opportunity to share that. Maybe as you enter the Christmas season and the things that are coming up, you've had some things that you've been struggling with. I don't know how to respond. Oh, what am I going to do? Man, love has an opportunity to melt our hearts and our fear and our anger. And it changes how we enter and perceive the world. But if we don't let that love in, the moving doesn't happen. We have an opportunity to be moved to be different kind of people this Christmas season. And maybe it's just as simple as, besides just packaging a gift and giving it to somebody or doing a good thing, all wonderful, but maybe we just need to share some I love yous around. Maybe there's some people in your life that you just haven't said that to in a while. Man, let's let the love that's been demonstrated here change us to make us be able to use our words. God used his words. He sent angels. The act was in Jesus coming, but he sent angels to use their words. Use our words. Don't let it just be a present. Don't let it just be an act. Cool that you bake cookies. But it doesn't need to be just cookies. Let them know that you love them too. I'm going to ask the band to come up, and I need to give them a minute to put their instruments back together. This week, I had a really unusual conversation with somebody. It's somebody that isn't a regular attender at North Valley Church, so you don't have to try and think about who it is I'm talking about. But I had a conversation with somebody. They were crying. They were upset because they thought that they had done something so horrific that God didn't love them anymore. I mean, this happened Thursday. It's right here in the Christmas season, and they're telling me, God doesn't love me. I am suffering this, and this has happened, and this has happened, and I know that it's God punishing me. And he was absolutely convinced that God had removed his love from them. If that sounds like you, that maybe you've got the kind of story that this guy had. He said he was feeling terrible because he knows that because God is punishing him, it's wrecking the lives of his wife and his two kids. And that he doesn't know if he can ever get back. And so I did my thing, like I do in those conversations. But I'm telling you, God loved that guy. If you're sitting here and you can hear my voice, God loves you. If you think there's something that's getting in the way of your relationship with God, something so big that you don't know that God can work through it, whatever Jesus did on the cross is bigger than anything else you think you might be struggling with. I want you to be able to focus on Christ today. I want you to be able to focus on the baby that we had in the manger, that he is bigger than whatever it is you've done. You know what? He's bigger than anything that's happened to you in the past. And I hope that you are able to step into and receive his love. And don't let those things get in the way of what it is that God has for you today. He loves you very much. That's why he sent his son. Let's pray. Father, we use the word love a lot. But we do it callously sometimes. We do it unthoughtfully. Help us to be able to remember what it is that you've demonstrated with your son. That there's something so big, so beautiful, so magnificent in Jesus that it can overcome anything in our past. And to be able to paint hope for our future. It's all motivated by your love for us. God, help us let that change us. Help us remove whatever it is that we've got in the way so that your love can get in. Help us to be able to be so filled and aware of your love that we can't shut up about it, that we share it with the people that we're around in the coming week, that we know that the reason we're celebrating is because God came down in the form of a babe to save us, because he loves us.